Welcome to part 6 of the pandemic preparedness course here at biodefense.com. My name is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, editor of naturalnews.com. This is the part you've been waiting for. At least that's what I've been told. People are telling me, hey, Mike, when are you going to talk about the herbal antivirals? That's what we really want to hear. Come on, give us a list. Tell us what to get. Tell us what might work. So that's the discussion here. But let me say up front some warnings about all this. First of all, as I've already mentioned in the other sections, everything that I'm going to mention here is in the category of, quote, experimental when it comes to treating or preventing Ebola. Nothing on the planet so far has been proven to treat or prevent Ebola. Nothing. No drug, no vaccine, no herb, no plant, nothing. So everything is experimental, including the things being recommended by the CDC or the FDA. Everything's experimental. So let me just get that out of the way. But there is a long history of indigenous use of all these herbs that I'm about to tell you. In fact, thousands of years of history of many of these, especially in Chinese medicine, functioning as very potent antivirals. And in fact, one of the formulas that I'm going to share with you here, called Xi Jiao Di Huang Tang, is this is a great formula that was developed in ancient China thousands of years ago by a pioneering medicine practitioner in China who used this formula to help save thousands of lives from a pandemic that was sweeping through China. So there's a very rich history of these, a history of many of these in South America. For example, we're going to talk about uña de gato, which is a cat's claw herb, and it has very powerful antiviral compounds. And that's been used for thousands of years throughout the rainforests of South America. So we're going to really take a bit of a world tour. We're going to go from China to South America to Western medicine, talk about essential oils and various medicinal herbs that may be very, very useful in saving lives against Ebola or really any pandemic that might come along. Now, a couple more warnings here. Be careful if you're pregnant. Almost all of these herbs are probably contraindicated during pregnancy. So if you are pregnant or you think you might be pregnant, you need to really be extremely cautious. Secondly, I recommend actually that everyone work with a qualified naturopathic physician before taking on these herbs. Thirdly, be careful of overdosing. Some of these are very, very potent, and you have to understand the safe doses. Some have a very wide safety margin. Others can actually be toxic if you take too much, although they're very medicinal, at the right dose. Also, be careful of allergies. Some of these can cause allergies or they can exacerbate existing allergies. So again, that's why I recommend you work with a qualified naturopathic physician or a qualified herbalist, for example, or Chinese medicine practitioner who can guide you with the proper dosing and the proper use of these very powerful antiviral herbs. Finally, be careful of interactions with prescription drugs. Prescription drugs interfere with human biology. That's the way they work. They hijack your biochemistry. And as a result, many prescription drugs will interfere with the proper functioning of these antiviral herbs. Now, the pharmaceutical industry likes to say it's the herbs that interfere with the drugs, never the other way around. But that's just their bias. In truth, it's prescription drugs that are interfering with human biology. Now, let's get to the list. Here are some of my favorite ones, and these are, well, they're probably better known as Western herbs, but we'll get to the Chinese herbs, and we'll get to some South American herbs as well. Oh, and by the way, these are all herbs that I personally am stockpiling. I am acquiring capsules, tablets, fresh raw leaf or dried leaf sometimes, and especially the essential oils. And I'll have a full discussion about essential oils and why I'm really, really getting turned on to the power of some of these oil concentrates, which also have a very, very long shelf life. So they can become your medicine chest to get you through a pandemic or any kind of a crazy health crisis out there when the medical system has failed and the government has failed. Essential oils are really nature's medicine chest. So here are some of the most powerful antivirals that I personally recommend that you research and explore. And possibly, if you think it's right for you, you may want to acquire these ahead of any kind of pandemic outbreak. Echinacea is at the top of the list. This is widely used to treat influenza around the world. It's a very, very powerful immune booster. You can take echinacea as a tincture or as capsules. You can even drink echinacea tea. Just like with many other powerful herbs, the key here is that echinacea has a symphony of phytochemicals, or what's called plant-based chemicals, or chemical constituents, and that these have amazing immune-supporting effects in the human body. Now, does echinacea work with Ebola? As I said up front, nobody knows. That the tests haven't been done, and you can bet the tests will never be done because the National Institutes of Health will never fund testing of herbs versus Ebola. They're not interested in that. So they'll never know. But is there any harm in taking some echinacea to boost your immune function in a pandemic? Of course not. There's no harm. It's very, very safe. It's very, very affordable, very widely available, and that's a great reason why you can add this to your complement of herbal defenses. My second recommendation here is to check out black elderberry. This is called Sambucus, or there's a brand name called Sambucol, S-A-M-B-U-C-O-L, that I highly recommend. I also recommend the Gaia Herb Company, which has a Sambucus extract, and Gaia Herbs is, they're fantastic. I've tested their products in our ICP-MS laboratory. They always come out very, very clean, very low in heavy metals. It's astounding because sometimes when I test ginkgo biloba herbs, for example, that are imported from China, I've found lead at over 5 parts per million in ginkgo from China. But ginkgo from the Gaia Herb Company has been very, very clean, almost zero lead. So the Gaia Herbs are fantastic. Love the company. The problem with Gaia Herbs, well, it's really not a problem with Gaia, but it's a problem with Amazon.com. Amazon.com is known as the place where hucksters sell counterfeit herbal products. And it's happened to us at Natural News. It's happened to people I know in the industry who I won't name because they're involved in lawsuits right now over this. But there are very big and elaborate counterfeit operations going on right now in America. Some of these people are located in New Jersey, believe it or not. And they manufacture counterfeit products. They slap a label on there that may say Gaia Herbs, and then they sell them through Amazon.com. And so far, Amazon has been completely unable to police these counterfeit operators that are working through their website. As a result, I personally never buy products through Amazon.com that I am going to depend on to be accurate. I prefer to get all these products directly from the manufacturers or a trusted reseller or a distributor that I know is going to be selling the honest thing. Like, you know, like a brick and mortar retailer, even Whole Foods, you can trust to sell the correct product. They're not going to carry counterfeit products. Amazon.com makes it easy for counterfeiters in the same way that eBay makes it easy for people to sell stolen, you know, plasma TVs or stolen car stereos or whatever they sell. So think of Amazon.com as a marketplace of stolen goods or really counterfeit goods. And don't trust it with your life, believe me. Especially, you don't want to be in the middle of a pandemic and pull out some Sambucol that you bought on Amazon.com and find out it's filled with artificial purple syrup with food coloring and doesn't even contain any black elderberry. In that case, you're screwed, right? So I wouldn't buy this stuff on Amazon. Nevertheless, elderberry is a very, very powerful antiviral medicine. It can help prevent influenza. It can help prevent herpes. It can help prevent any kind of a viral infection. Again, is it proven against Ebola? No, but it might be very, very effective. And it's also very delicious to take, and it has a very wide safety margin. So I would personally, if I were in a situation where Ebola were circulating and I thought I might have been exposed, I would be taking echinacea on a daily basis. I'd be taking elderberry frequently as well. I would start doubling and tripling up. Actually, I'd be layering up a lot of these things at the same time as preventive ways to boost immune function. And elderberry definitely falls into that category. Now, another great medicine, which is really part of traditional Chinese medicine, is licorice root. A licorice root is great because it has a unique and interesting taste. And I'm not talking about artificial licorice candy, obviously, but licorice root, which you can find through herbal supply companies or Chinese medicine companies. Licorice is great because It's even been studied for suppression of HIV. It is a powerful antiviral medicine. It has mucosal protection, which means it helps protect the mucous membranes of your body, which is one of the contamination vectors of Ebola. Licorice root, you can get it in a tincture format. You can take it as capsules. You can make a tea out of it and drink the tea. It's very delicious. You can combine licorice with other things like licorice and ginger or licorice and cinnamon, which is also antiviral, licorice and clove. You can even make your own super antiviral tea by just combining things like I just mentioned, licorice, ginger, clove, bud, cinnamon. You might throw a little bit of echinacea in there, although it's not that great taste of a taste. You could make your own teas and, or what's called in Chinese medicine, a decoction, where you take the raw leaf and the raw materials and the bark and the roots, whatever you have, and you boil it in water, you pour off the water, you strain out the solid particles, and you're left with this powerful medicine in the form of a tea. And you can drink that and get the benefits of it. That's, in fact, a lot of Chinese medicine is based on that process right there. So next we go to South America for cat's claw, uña de gato. Cat's claw, well, uña is the nails, and de gato is of the cat. So the cat, cat's claw is a powerful antiviral compound. And when I lived in South America, we saw this growing all around us. This was a very common plant, so it was easy to get. You can buy it in a tincture format. You can get it in tea bags to make a tea. You can get it in capsules. I would very strongly recommend going with a highly trusted source on this. Again, I recommend Gaia Herbs. There may be other sources that are very, very trustworthy as well, but just be careful. I wouldn't buy this stuff from China. And even from South America, you have to be cautious of the source because you don't know which companies have put in a bunch of filler versus actual uña de gato. So be careful about that. Make sure you go with a trusted source. Now, cat's claw is something that you can also take on a daily basis as long as you take into account the warnings that I mentioned earlier. You don't want to take this if you're pregnant, for example. You want to work with a qualified naturopathic physician or herbal medicine practitioner, someone who knows what they're doing with this and can help you with your particular concerns or particular interactions with drugs or medicines or health challenges that you may have. All right, next on the list, garlic. You gotta have garlic. Anytime you're trying to kill bacteria or you're trying to even have an antiviral effect, you have to consider garlic because garlic can be taken in as a food. Obviously, you can really put it into more and more foods. And if you begin to really take in a lot of these antiviral herbs as part of your daily diet, you will boost your natural defenses against infections in a general sense. So if you eat a lot more garlic, it may give you garlic breath, but it's also going to give you garlic protection, almost like protection against vampires in the mythology, right? But garlic can be eaten whole. It can be taken raw in very small quantities because it has so many sulfur compounds that if you try to drink a lot of raw garlic, you might actually vomit. So don't overdo it. But you can take garlic as an oil, as an extract, tablets, capsules, or just use it in food. Now, basil is another antiviral herb that has a lot of amazing chemical constituents in it naturally. So if you can work more basil into your diet naturally, then you can boost your immune protection. So you might like to eat, let's say, pesto, or if you could grow basil yourself, you could harvest basil, you could make your own pesto out of the basil leaves, and the more pungent, the better. What you're really looking for here in a lot of these herbs that you're going to be eating is really, really pungent oils. This is why sage, for example, is also a potent antiviral medicine. And if you can work sage into your diet, or even things like rosemary, the more of these things that you can eat, these culinary herbs, you're going to be boosting your intake of these powerful oils that have protective effects and immune supporting effects. And what's great about this is that you can do these things every day. You can make them part of your diet. Eat more garlic, eat more ginger, eat more basil, eat more rosemary, eat more sage. And a lot of these things you can grow. And by the way, peppermint is in this list as well. Who doesn't love peppermint tea? You can make a peppermint chocolate smoothie and really enjoy it and be taking great medicine at the same time. So as you continue to hear this list, I want you to think about ideas of different ways that you could use these in your daily diet. There are some natural medicines that you only want to use when you have an acute infection. And I'm going to talk about some of those. But what I've been talking about so far are really things that you can incorporate into your daily intake by drinking some delicious echinacea tea. You can have some immune support with the sambucol, the black elderberry. You can have some cat's claw, uña de gato. You can eat more garlic. You can eat more basil. Drink more peppermint tea, and so on and so forth. You can do these things right now before you need emergency medical care. So, in fact, to stay healthy, these are things that you might want to be doing anyway. Now, continuing on down the list, astragalus is a really great adaptogenic herb. Although it doesn't have powerful antiviral effects, but it does help your body adapt to stress. And if you're exposed to Ebola, you're going to be under a lot of stress for obvious reasons. So astragalus can simply help your immune system modulate itself so that it's better adapted, which is why it's called an adaptogenic herb, to be able to handle the stresses of an infection. Next, cinnamon. I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but cinnamon is really great. It's powerful. It's got a lot of natural oils in it. Obviously, you want real cinnamon. You don't want artificial cinnamon. You want real cinnamon. So the cinnamon powder, if you incorporate it into your diet through even, you know, cinnamon, apple cinnamon and honey pancakes, if you eat more cinnamon, you're getting the benefits of the cinnamon. Cinnamon really is medicine. It's one of the few medicines that's found in the standard American diet. So it's really kind of funny that way. You can also get some essential oils of cinnamon. You can add a few drops of that oil into a bowl of boiling water and put your face over it with a towel over your head, and you can inhale it so you can take it in as a steam. And in fact, this method is something that you can do with a lot of the herbs that I'm going to mention here, such as eucalyptus, for example, or even tea tree oil if you keep the potency really small. Some of these things, even peppermint, for example, you can use that way, or oregano. A lot of these things can be inhaled with steam at a low potency in order to help support the respiratory health and sinus health and mucosal linings. And all of these areas are really vital for protection against airborne infectious diseases. Now, why doesn't your doctor tell you to do these things? Well, for obvious reasons. Your doctor doesn't know about any of these things. They're never taught in medical school, and they don't make money for the drug companies. And the drug companies send representatives out to the doctors to bribe the doctors. And remember, GlaxoSmithKline was fined, I think, $2 billion by the U.S. Department of Justice, admitted to committing multiple felony crimes in the bribery of doctors, and had a network of tens of thousands of doctors that it routinely bribed so that they would keep pushing drugs. Well, there is nobody out there in the world that's running around bribing doctors to tell you to inhale some cinnamon vapor. All right? It's not going to happen. And that's why you will never, ever hear this from your doctor. Yeah. Wouldn't that be funny if we had the cinnamon brigade? the cinnamon lobby. Yeah. Running around trying to push cinnamon because it's so dirt cheap that no money can be made from it, really. Cinnamon, by the way, is a tree bark. I find it fascinating that a lot of Americans have no idea that cinnamon comes from the bark of the cinnamon tree. Because many Americans, for example, when they first learn about Chinese medicine and they discover that, oh my God, some of these medicines are made from tree bark, they freak out. And then you tell them, well, you eat cinnamon, right? And they say, yeah, I eat cinnamon. And you say, well, did you know that cinnamon comes from the bark of the cinnamon tree? And they go, oh, no way. Because they have no clue. Americans are detached from their own food. They have no idea what they're eating or where it comes from. And so that's why the idea of using tree bark as a food source or a spice or a medicine is so foreign to most Americans, because they have no idea where their food really comes from. Anyway, continuing this list, comfrey is very powerful. You can use comfrey root to make a gargle. Now, you probably don't want to be chugging this. You don't want to drink comfrey internally, but you can gargle with it, and it helps to protect your throat, your mouth, your mucosal membranes. It's a great gargle. Myrrh, by the way, is also another way to stimulate mucosal tissue circulation. It can be used as a mouthwash. It's not something that you want to ingest or eat. It can be toxic in very high doses if you swallow it. But if you just use it as a mouthwash, it's very, very effective. It's almost like a resin in some ways, and it's powerful medicine. Calendula. You can use calendula root. You can boil it in water. Drink it as an infusion. Many people use it in ointments for topical use. It helps accelerate wound healing, for example. So it's both. Some of these are for both internal and external use, and calendula is definitely one of those. Moving on with the list, eucalyptus is fantastic. If you can get some eucalyptus oil, put it into a pot of boiling water, or maybe you have a steamer or a vaporizer slash inhaler, you can inhale the essential oil of eucalyptus. Obviously, keep the potency low because it's very strong. It can be very stimulating. But you can also use eucalyptus leaves to make a gargle, to make a mouthwash out of it, and even to be an ingredient in a topical ointment to help have an antibacterial effect on wound healing. Lemon balm is a very potent antiviral. I like to make it into a tea. You can also just use essential oils in a cup of warm water and actually just drink a few drops of lemon balm with some hot water. Really, it's super healthy for you that way, and it will boost your immune function. Tea tree oil. Tea tree oil is not for internal ingestion, obviously, but it is fantastic for topical use and external protection. Some people do something really interesting with tea tree oil. They put a few drops into their favorite cream, and then they use the cream around their nose, like just on the outside of their nose, to create an antiviral cream that's just on the outside of their nose. Because, let's face it, Ebola can get into you by you touching your nose or picking your nose or scratching the edge of your nose. If you get the Ebola virus onto your mucous membranes inside your nose, you can be infected. So a tea tree oil can actually be used around the outside of your nose to help provide a layer of protection against viral infections. Once again, my disclaimer is it's not proven to stop Ebola, and I'm not claiming that it does. But this is one of the things, one of the strategies that may help you. And think about all the layers of defenses that we've already talked about here, and there's many more yet to go. If you layer these together, and you're drinking the teas, and you're inhaling the essential oils, and you're using, for example, tea tree oil around the outside of your nose, and you are just being intelligent about not coming into contact with people who are infected, you can really drastically reduce your chances of being a victim of a pandemic such as Ebola. Now, Golden Seal is not necessarily a powerful antiviral, but it's very well known as an antibacterial herb. So Golden Seal is something you should check out as well, something to explore. Tastes awful, but can be very, very effective. Oregano. Oregano oil is one of my favorite oils. It is incredibly potent. I have, for many, many years, taken oregano oils with me every time I travel. And what I found about oregano oil is that it is the most potent and effective food poisoning remedy that I've ever discovered. Now, I know this doesn't necessarily apply to Ebola, but it's just another reason to have oregano oil around. I found that if I eat something that's questionable, maybe I'm on the road, maybe I'm traveling, I have a meal, something doesn't feel right, I'll slam some oregano, like straight oregano drops, sometimes an entire dropperful, which is pretty potent, let me tell you. And the food poisoning is gone. It's just gone. This stuff is incredible in terms of antibacterial effects. So if you think you've eaten, I don't know, a slice of pizza with rotten tomato sauce on it that's gone bad, and you're starting to feel queasy, slam some oregano oil. That's my advice. It can be really, really powerful. Now, it also treats viral pneumonia around the world. That's one of the ways in which it's used. It's known to kill a lot of bacteria. It has antifungal properties. You can gargle with it. You can drink a little bit of it. You can inhale some of it in a vapor context using boiling water, for example, or a steamer or vaporizer. You can also use oregano topically. I know many people use oregano on spider bites because as they've explained it to me, the oregano penetrates the skin and then it denatures the proteins in spider venom. I've even heard stories, though I can't say these are true, that brown recluse spider bites may be potentially treated by topical oregano oil to reduce the severity of the venom. Those brown recluse spider bites can be very, very dangerous. Some people have had to have fingers amputated because of those spider bites, or even toes and feet amputated. So if you could use some oregano oil to stop that, that would be amazing. I wish the government would fund some research into that so we could get more straightforward answers on whether that really, really works. Nevertheless, oregano oil is something that you should have in your arsenal. If you don't have oregano oil in your medicine cabinet, then you're not prepared. You're not prepared for an economic collapse, a grid down scenario, a nuclear war, a pandemic, whatever. Get some oregano. This is one of my must-have recommendations for natural medicine, natural first aid. Moving on, peppermint is fantastic as an antibacterial and an antiviral. It's super delicious. It's something that you can easily grow yourself. So one of the strategies that I really recommend in all of this is that you should have your own small garden, even if it's just a windowsill garden that you grow indoors. You should be growing as many of these herbs as you can, such as peppermint, or even spearmint is also good to grow. You should grow some sage, grow some rosemary. Any of these things that I've mentioned here that you can grow, I strongly recommend that you do it. Basil, for example. Lemon balm, maybe you can grow some of that depending on your climate. Whatever you can grow that's mentioned here, I strongly urge you to grow it. Garlic, for example, is very, very easy for many people to grow. It almost grows like a weed in many areas. Now, why should you grow your own herbs? Here's the simple reason. Because the minute an herb is harvested, it begins to lose potency. So if you want the highest potency natural medicine from these herbs and foods, you need to grow them yourself and use them immediately upon harvesting. That's where the oils are the most potent. That's where the medicine is the most potent. You know, truth be told, every herb that you buy in a bottle or in a capsule or in an extract is by definition a little bit less potent than the fresh herb taken right out of your garden. The convenience, of course, makes it worthwhile, and that's why we all have, you know, essential oils and herbal capsules and dried herbal teas and things like that. But if you can grow it yourself, that's the best medicine of all. So grow as many of these things as you can. Peppermint, by the way, you can use it in a mouthwash. You can actually drink it, of course, have a peppermint tea. You can add peppermint essential oils to other recipes. I like to do a chocolate peppermint avocado cacao coconut water superfood smoothie. I know it sounds really weird, but it's very delicious. It's like green peppermint ice cream or green chocolate chip mint ice cream is actually what it kind of tastes like. And it's very potent, very, very strong natural medicine, and it's super delicious. Next herb on the list is red clover. And red clover just gives you an overall immune-boosting support to increase your resistance to viral infections. Again, we don't know if it works against Ebola. It may not, but it's great nutrition, and red clover is well known as a blood cleanser. So it helps cleanse your blood. And what do I mean by that? Well, it means it helps your blood eliminate toxins a little better, and it helps boost your blood's delivery of important nutrients to your body's cells. Red clover is a blood stimulant. In essence, you could say it helps make your blood work a little better. And it's easy to grow. It's easy to work with. It has a very safe profile, and it can be quite delicious because the taste isn't that strong. So I recommend red clover. Sage I mentioned before. You can use fresh sage to make your own teas. You can make an extract with it using an alcohol extract process. You can use a decoction or infusion methods to make natural medicine out of sage. You should be growing sage so that you have a medicine chest in your own yard that you can turn to anytime you need to. Oh, and by the way, it's a great idea to go get yourself a book, a how-to book of some basics of making herbal preparations. How do you do an alcohol extract? How do you do a water extract, a decoction? How do you make an ointment out of an herb? How do you make a tea out of an herb? These are all very, very easy. To make an alcohol extract, for example, you basically take a big jar and you stuff it full of the herbs that you're extracting from, and then you fill it with vodka. And then you let it sit for a few weeks and you shake it every once in a while. And after a few weeks, well, you've got yourself an alcohol extract of that herb. You just strain it out and fill it in bottles, and there you go. You have a well-preserved herbal extract that has taken out many of the chemical constituents of those herbs. Some people like to use water instead. In Chinese medicine, they use hot boiling water to pull out the chemical constituents of the Chinese herbs. One more interesting herb here is yarrow. Now, yarrow is known as an herb that stops bleeding. That's kind of an important thing, and especially if you think about Ebola, one of the mechanisms is that it causes a lot of internal hemorrhaging and bleeding. So yarrow might have an important role in the treatment of Ebola victims. I can't claim that it's going to perform miracles. We don't know that yet, but this is one that should really be researched for this purpose. Anyway, it's great at stopping bleeding wounds, and it's often used both internally and externally for this purpose. So check out yarrow as something to look into. I'm going to talk about Chinese medicine here in just a second and give you one of the ancient Chinese medicine formulas that is very, very effective and used in pandemics. It actually has a lot of experience behind it. But first, I just want to mention about essential oils. Now, there are a lot of companies that offer essential oils, and most of them are really great. In fact, I haven't found any problematic companies. So wherever you get your essential oils, it's going to be worth your while to do so. I know there are many companies out there in the retail space, and some like Young Living and doTERRA also exist in the word of mouth marketing space. I happen to have been really turned on to doTERRA's oils because a friend gave me some oils to test in my lab. And he said, look, here's some oregano, you know, here's some tea tree oil. He gave me this whole kit, this physician's kit of oils that doTERRA offers. And I didn't even know who doTERRA was. And now I know how huge they are. They provide essential oils to like millions of people. But he said, here, test these oils in your lab. See if you think they're clean. And I was skeptical because most of what I test, I usually find problems with it. You know, there's a lot of pollution out there in the world, and I tend to find heavy metals and things. That's kind of what I'm known for. But anyway, I took these oils, and for example, I'm holding some of them right here. Oregano and Digest Zen is a name of one oil. What is this? Deep Blue. I took some of these oils into the lab, and I went ahead and sampled them, put them through nitric acid digestion, and I did an ICP-MS run on them through the plasma torch instrumentation to check the elemental concentration for lead, cadmium, arsenic, mercury, strontium, uranium, aluminum, copper. What else do I check? Sometimes I check for cobalt, but I really wasn't that interested in it in this case. And anyway, the numbers came back, and they were just astonishingly clean. And I said to my friend, you know, these are really, really clean. These are great. And then I tried some of them. I tasted them. I tasted the oregano oil, and I said, wow, this is really, really potent. So he went ahead and you know, signed me up, and I've been buying from doTERRA ever since. And then a bunch of people started asking me where they can get oils, so I mentioned doTERRA, and then we got a bunch of people buying from our team in doTERRA. Anyway, I don't push anything on anybody, but if you want to get these oils from the Natural News doTERRA team, you can click on the ad on the right. I think it's an On Guard oil ad, and that'll take you right to the doTERRA page for Natural News, where you can buy some oils, or you can join as a member and get discounts, or whatever you want. Or hey, you may be listening, you may be a member of Young Living. Good for you. Get your oils from Young Living. I totally support that company. You may be getting your oils from like the Gaia Herb Company that I mentioned earlier in a capsule format. That's good too. Remember, no matter what companies I mention here, the overall overriding rule is that the most potent herbs that you can possibly consume are ones you grow yourself. So I always recommend above everything else that you grow as much as you can. What you can't grow, you can get from companies like this, like doTERRA, like Young Living, like Gaia Herbs, or there are some other brands out there that are also very, very good. The point is, get yourself some of these oils. I don't care where you get them. Just make sure you get some. Make sure you get yourself a medicine cabinet. One of the things I liked about doTERRA was $300 or something I spent, and I got this huge kit of oils worth over $500, and it has dozens of oils in it, a full selection. I haven't even had time to test them all. But now I know I've got a medicine kit that's going to last for years and years on the shelf that I can turn to in emergencies for all kinds of different situations. So that's one of the things that I liked about it. But wherever you get your oils, make sure you get them. Make sure you start to stockpile some of these for your own safety. All right, the final section of this, we're going to talk about Chinese medicine. And this is going to be fun because I get to pronounce all the Chinese names, which is I always try to do a good job with that because I do speak quite a bit of Mandarin Chinese, but my pronunciation is not perfect, not by a long shot. And these herbal names, some of these can be pretty tricky. Nevertheless, let's talk about this. So I mentioned already a little bit about the history of China and how China has suffered through a number of pandemics throughout its 5,000 plus year history. And Chinese medicine is thousands of years ahead of Western medicine. In fact, the pioneers of Chinese medicine lived literally before Christ. So there's a long history behind Chinese medicine. And Chinese medicine has approaches that are more metaphorical, more philosophical, sometimes more energetic. And they're not just reductionists, kind of like Western medicine is. Every system of medicine has its advantages and disadvantages. Western medicine is really awesome if you need acute care for an injury. Or let's say you're walking down the street and a construction crane falls on your ankle. You are going to need emergency acute care. Western medicine is the best in the world at that. But Western medicine is horrible at protecting you from infectious diseases, which is why right now, as I record this, Western medicine has no answer for Ebola. Chinese medicine does have answers for these kinds of things. There's a formula that's called the blood heat formula. Now, you have to really understand Chinese medicine, you have to understand they talk in terms of metaphors. They talk about wind, they talk about heat, they talk about cold, and they talk about organs or meridians, the lung meridian, lung channel, sometimes they say, or, you know, blood or kidney channel. So this blood heat formula is designed to treat an acute infection where a patient is very, very hot. The blood is very, very hot. The blood is almost boiling. And if you look at, and I don't mean literally boiling, I mean metaphorically boiling. If you look at an Ebola victim, they look like their blood is boiling. They're having blood sores popping up all over their skin. It's almost like they are erupting from the inside out with extensive blood heat. And Chinese medicine pioneers recognized this, and they knew that they were going to have to cool the blood and cleanse the blood. And so they developed a formula that I'm going to share with you here. It's a blood heat formula, and it has four basic ingredients. And this formula is an amazing lifesaver, and I believe that this formula could potentially save millions of lives in an Ebola outbreak. And you can bet that if Ebola gets into a major city in the Western world, like London or New York or Seattle or Chicago, these herbs are going to be impossible to purchase because they're going to be wiped out immediately as word about this spreads. And then even if you do think you're getting some of the herb, you might be buying counterfeit versions because there'll be a lot of money made by counterfeiters who are, you know, tricking you into thinking you're buying these herbs. In any case, the blood heat formula is called Xi Jiao Di Huang Tang, and that's five separate words. Xi Jiao Di Huang Tang. The herbal ingredients in this formula consist of four specific herbs. They are Sheng Di Huang, and Sheng Di Huang is, well, Sheng means raw, and Di Huang is a Romania. It's spelled R-E-H-M-A-N-N-I-A. And this herb, again, the sheng means raw. This herb restores cellular hydration. So this one of the things that Ebola patients suffer from is chronic dehydration. And this is why the supportive care in the hospitals often consists of hydration and intravenous solutions, IV fluids. But this herb can help restore cellular hydration during acute treatment. And that's how it's used in Chinese medicine. Now, the next herb in this formula is called Xi Jiao. Xi Jiao is traditionally was made from rhino horn. This is, I'm talking, you know, back in the day when rhinoceros were all over the place. And the rhino horn has specific nutritional qualities and mineral qualities, and they use it in medicine. Well, obviously today, nobody's using rhino horn because they're an endangered species. So instead, that is now replaced with buffalo horn. And there are plenty of buffalo still running around, and there are farms that, that produce buffalo meat, and then they have buffalo horns as a byproduct. So the buffalo horn is now the Xi Jiao. And this ingredient creates extreme cold to counteract the extreme heat of the blood. Now, I'm speaking metaphorically here. I'm not saying that this is like minus 75 degrees buffalo horn. No, I'm talking about the philosophical metaphors of Chinese medicine, which Western medicine doesn't understand and so tends to dismiss without even attempting to understand it. But this ingredient helps to create a coldness to counteract the extreme heat of the, quote, boiling blood of an Ebola victim. Now, the third ingredient in this blood heat formula is called Qi Xiao, and it's really just red peony root. Qi Xiao is, I don't know the exact function of this in Chinese medicine, but it's definitely one of the ingredients in this formula. If you want to know more about what it does, you know, look it up online or go visit a Chinese medicine practitioner. They can tell you a lot more. Anyway, the fourth ingredient in this formula, the blood heat formula that's been used in China for thousands of years is Mu Dan Pi. And Mu Dan Pi is sometimes called mutan root bark. And I don't know the function of this in the formula. My understanding is that the first two ingredients I covered here are the primary ingredients in this formula. And Mu Dan Pi may be just a supportive additional ingredient. So, if you want to learn more about these formulas, it is crucial that you go visit a qualified Chinese medicine practitioner who has experience in herbal medicine. And they can prescribe these to you. They are licensed in many, many states, including the state of Texas, for example, to prescribe these formulas. They cannot claim to treat Ebola. They cannot claim to treat cancer. They cannot claim to be curing disease. But what they can do is help support your body's natural immune response against all kinds of things, including infections, including risk of possibly being infected with a pandemic. So keep in mind that this formula that I just mentioned, blood heat formula, this is not a preventive formula. This is not something to be taken on a daily basis. Not like the echinacea and the elderberry and the peppermint that I mentioned before. This is something that Chinese medicine practitioners have used for thousands of years to treat dying patients who are dying, who are bleeding out, who are on their deathbed. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying drink this stuff every day. This can be very, very dangerous for you if you are not in the state of extreme blood heat for which this is has been used in Chinese medicine. So please understand that every medicine has its appropriate place and its appropriate treatment context. And you can't just slam every single herb that I'm mentioning here. You need to make sure you're working with a qualified herbal practitioner, naturopathic physician, Chinese medicine practitioner who knows what they're doing. All right. So I've said that multiple times in this. I hope I'm being very clear about the safety precautions of using these herbs. All right, so I'm going to mention a few more herbs here. Actually, I'm going to go through this list. What is this? Seven more Chinese herbs. Xuanyoujiao is one of the herbs, and that's a buffalo horn. In the Chinese language, niu means cow, so Xuanyoujiao means buffalo horn. Then we have Xuanshen, which is, I've got a Latin name here, but I'm not going to read it. I'll just list these in the text below this audio. That's Xuanshen. Then we have the one I mentioned earlier, Sheng Di Huang. That's raw Romania, Sheng Di Huang. Mu Dan Pi. This is the mutan root bark that I also mentioned earlier. So what do we have here? Qi Xiao. Oh, red peony. Already covered that. Let's see. Da Qing Ye. I haven't seen that one before. Da Qing Ye. Something to check out. And then we have, what is this? Zi Jiao is, what is this called? Lithospermy Arnabay Radix? Wow, that sounds interesting. Anyway, check these in the notes below and go see a qualified Chinese medicine practitioner if you'd like to explore the potential of any of these herbs. You know, one of the big picture items in all of this is that Chinese medicine can potentially save many, many lives in a global pandemic when Western medicine may completely fail. And one of the sad things about modern medicine is how it is so monopolistic and so dogmatic in its belief system. It leaves no room for any other system of medicine other than its own vaccines and pharmaceuticals. And that is a disservice to humanity. All over the world, we have many, many different systems of medicine used by the majority of the world's population. Most people don't use Western medicine. Most people don't use pharmaceuticals, okay? People use Himalayan medicine. People use Ayurvedic medicine, obviously, throughout India. There's South American rainforest medicine. There's indigenous American Indian medicine, Western herbal medicine, Chinese medicine, some of which we've just covered, and many other systems of medicine. The indigenous tribes of Australia, the Aborigines there, have their own systems of medicine. All over the world, the default systems of medicine have been plant-based medicine because plants synthesize medicine naturally, and they don't require prescriptions. They don't demand patent royalties, and they're not as toxic as pharmaceuticals because pharmaceuticals are so concentrated and synthetic. They don't exist out in nature. So all over the world, we have these many, many systems of medicine, but in the United States, there is this absurd, delusional idea that none of that has any value whatsoever, and that only a pharmaceutical and only a vaccine can provide any protective benefit whatsoever. Nonsense. Complete hogwash. It's a total scam and a sham that has been perpetrated on the American people and the people of Great Britain and other Western nations for a very long time, to try to destroy the knowledge of indigenous plant-based medicine and replace it with this profit-generating, corporate-run medical dictatorship system dominated by corrupt criminal institutions like the CDC and even the FDA. And so that is going to get a lot of people killed. People who believe solely in Western medicine will probably pay for that belief with their lives in a global pandemic outbreak. So it's kind of an IQ test, in a sense. Can you survive the global pandemic? Well, not if you're so stupid that you think that Big Pharma is the only source of medicine on our planet. The more intelligent people will recognize that there are numerous systems of plant-based medicine. There are tens of thousands of chemical constituents of everyday plants, that many of which I've mentioned, peppermint, ginger, cinnamon, and so on, that have medicinal benefits, antiviral potential, antibacterial, antifungal potential, immune boosting potential, adaptogenic potential, cognitive enhancement potential as well. So these truths cannot be suppressed forever. And I do believe that if a global pandemic sweeps through the world's population, that those people who are most likely to survive are those who honor and respect the sanctity and the sacredness of the indigenous plant medicine that has existed on our planet for millions of years. It is people who honor nature who are going to be able to live, whereas it is people who have discarded nature and have instead worshipped profit-based chemical medicine of the pharmaceutical industry who are more likely to die from ignorance. They will die from ignorance because if you hand them the herbs that I've talked about here, if you hand them a bottle of black elderberry extract capsules and say, you may want to take this because it can help save your life, they will look at you and say, ah, nonsense. I'm waiting for Pfizer to come out with a vaccine and I'm going to take that. Well, that's their choice, but it's a choice that may cost them their life. Make no mistake that in a global pandemic, the arrogance that comes with Western medicine will get a lot of people killed. Dogma is deadly. All right, so that we should make a bumper sticker out of that. During the pandemic, you can drive around and say, dogma is deadly. Don't trust only in vaccines. You should really expand your awareness of the natural medicines that exist in nature so that you can stay alive by using what Mother Nature has already put on this planet in the form of medicine. All right, so I know this has been kind of a long episode, but I have a lot to squeeze in here, a lot to cover. But that's really the list. And just in summary, remember that there are many things that you can start doing right now. Today, you can start purchasing or growing many of these herbs that you can take on a regular basis in the form of a tea, in the form of capsules, in the form of inhaling from steam, for example. These include things like echinacea, like licorice. You can eat more garlic, eat more basil, eat more sage, rosemary. You can have more teas made out of licorice. Have more teas made with cinnamon, with clove bud, for example, with ginger. So I want to encourage you to start expanding the palate of spices that you experience. Most people have a very limited diet, a very limited palate of experience. Most Americans, yeah, sure, they have a little bit of cinnamon from time to time, but their palates are really more used to sugar, salt, fat, carbohydrates, occasional mustard, occasional ketchup. Like that's the extent of it. Oh yeah, some salsa thrown in there from time to time, some jalapenos, but that's about it. They're not really having a high diversity diet, which is what boosts your immune function. It gives you more defenses against infectious diseases. So I want you to start exploring it and expanding what you eat. I want you to go out and eat more pesto, for example. Try some different ethnic foods that you've never tried before. And if you really look at the herbs that are used in foods from the Middle East or foods from India, those are some of the most potent antiviral spices that you will ever find. If you eat like people eat in, let's say, Saudi Arabia, you're going to have a pretty strong antiviral diet there. If you eat foods that they eat in India, it's the same story. A lot of those spices that are in Middle Eastern or Indian food are very potent antiviral spices. In fact, you can find some potent antiviral medicine by going to a Middle East food store in the United States where they will sell spices by the jar, big jar spices of turmeric and cumin and paprika and just many other spices that are, in every case, they contain natural medicine. So if you eat like an American, you're not going to have that big of a diverse diet, and you need to expand it. I'm also going to encourage you to start changing what you drink. If you're drinking sodas, I'm sorry for you, but it's time to get rid of that and start switching to tea. I want you to start exploring a lot of medicinal teas. Start drinking some green tea, in fact, if you'd like, but get teas with medicines in them, like licorice, like ginger, like uña de gato, as we already talked about, cat's claw. I want you to start experiencing the rich world of medicinal teas so that you begin to have a taste for that, so that if the day comes that there's a pandemic in your country or in your city and you need to be slamming these teas, it's not going to seem like a foreign, weird thing to you. You're going to be used to it because you've been drinking many of these teas for quite some time. And finally, I have to mention, because I didn't really cover vitamin D or zinc, I got to mention these are staples of antiviral protection. You have to have good vitamin D circulating in your body in order to activate your immune system. Vitamin D is crucial for protecting yourself against things like tuberculosis and influenza. And it may be very, very effective at preventing infections from Ebola. Again, we don't know that for sure, but it certainly will help you prevent many other diseases, including cancer. Vitamin D is well known to help prevent cancer. Zinc is a powerful nutrient, a very effective trace mineral that most people don't have enough of. And zinc helps accelerate skin healing. Zinc helps enhance immune function. Zinc even prevents some pathogens from being able to latch on to your tissue in your respiratory system. So by having an ample supply of zinc in your body, you can literally, physically prevent some infections just because you have this mineral. So if you do all these things, imagine the power of the layers of protection that you are now putting in place for yourself. If you're drinking some of these teas, if you are inhaling some of these essential oil vapors, if you're expanding your diet, eating more garlic, more basil, more of these herbs that we talked about, and you're boosting your vitamin D, and you're boosting your zinc, just and you're avoiding the immune-suppressing things that I'm going to talk about in another episode, then imagine you have already, at this point, put yourself probably in the top 1% of the people most likely to survive on the planet. Most people on our planet do not have the benefits of all these things I talked about. Most people eat horrible diets of processed foods. They are living immunosuppressive lifestyles. They don't have good nutrition. They don't take mineral supplements. They don't grow their own plants and eat their own plants. Most people are not living anywhere near the nutritional potential of what the human body could achieve. And so by you tapping into this incredible potential, you are putting yourself in a very advantageous position where you have better defenses and more natural medicine circulating in your body than probably 99 out of 100 people on our planet. Does this absolutely guarantee that you will survive Ebola? No, of course it doesn't. But it vastly increases your chances of being healthy, having a healthy immune system, being able to recover from any infectious disease. And I want to remind you that the people who have survived Ebola so far, they survived it solely on their own. They did not beat Ebola because of a drug. They did not beat Ebola because of a vaccine. They beat Ebola because their immune system overcame it. So everything that you can do to give your immune system that enhanced potential is going to work in your favor. It's going to give you far better odds of surviving an infection, or maybe even not contracting an infection, even if you are exposed to it. Remember, some people are exposed to influenza, for example, and they never catch the flu. They're never symptomatic, even though they carry it and they have antibodies for it that they've developed themselves, but they were never symptomatic. They never caught the cold, so to speak. The same thing can happen with Ebola. There are people out there in the world, I'm sure, who have probably been exposed to Ebola and yet never showed any symptoms because their bodies were able to develop immune response antibodies internally without showing any symptoms whatsoever. They may not even know that they're carriers of Ebola antibodies. And finally, some people might say, well, why should I do all this stuff? It's going to cost money. You know, it's going to cost money. I'm going to have to buy some of these herbs. I'm going to have to buy some tinctures. I'm going to have to boil some water and inhale the vapors. Oh my God, sounds like work. Well, most people go to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week so they can pay the minimum monthly payment on their credit card loans, so they can buy a pair of fashion jeans and jewelry, take a vacation trip and pay off their pool. And most people spend more time working to pay off their car than they do investing in their own health. And that seems to be the status quo in Western civilization today, but it's something that I think is insane. I think you should invest more in yourself than your car. I think you should care more about your body, your health, your mental health, than how fancy your house is, or whether or not you're going to install a pool in your backyard. I think we should care about staying alive rather than staying trendy. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, not everybody agrees with that, and they would rather have a new Ferrari than have some essential oils that might save their lives. That's their choice. One of the things you'll find about me and my philosophy is that I think that we should let people choose whatever path they wish. We should inform them. We should inspire them if we can and work to protect them, but we can't control them. So everybody has a choice. Choose whatever path they want. When it comes to a global pandemic, some people will choose life. Some people will choose to survive. They will choose to invest in the things that I've mentioned here so they can protect their health and get through this and then contribute to a greater society, the rebuilding of society after the pandemic sweeps through. But other people will choose to ignore it all, and they'll lock themselves in their little world of distractions and delusions, and they'll say, well, nothing bad's going to happen to me, because if something bad was happening, they would tell us on CNN, right? You know, they'll have this delusional self-talk, and then, you know, they will more likely than not become victims of the pandemic. I'm not here to judge those people, but I hope that you, I'm convinced that you are the first type of person who wants to make it, who wants to survive, who wants to be prepared. And, you know, the funny thing is, you've invested about an hour of time in listening to this, and if the Ebola virus never threatens you at all, and they contain it next week and it's over, everything I've shared with you here can help improve the quality of your life even without the pandemic. Think about it. Most of the things I mentioned here can help prevent chronic degenerative disease. If you're drinking these immune-boosting teas, you're less likely to catch a winter flu or a cold. You're likely to have healthier blood, healthier organs, maybe even healthier cognitive function. So by doing the things that we've already covered here, you can increase the quality of your life no matter what comes your way. So thank yourself for investing this hour of time with me, and I thank you as well. I appreciate you listening. Share this with others if you think that they can benefit from this information as well. That's why I put it out for free. And that's why I encourage you to download the MP3 and share the MP3. Well, I'm going to sign off now. An hour's enough. My name is Mike Adams. I'm the Health Ranger, the editor of naturalnews.com. And that's where you can go to learn more about health survival or health self-reliance in an era of our world where a lot of bizarre things are happening all around us. But if you have the right knowledge, you can be safe and well-protected as we all share this journey together. Take care.